hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a horse that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Folks, having some CD issues here on live radio. That's kind of how it goes. And but we do welcome you here. And we'll see if we've got our brothers on the line. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
Hey, we'll bring you up there. Thanks for joining, being in. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
I haven't heard him come on yet.
Okay. We're still a little early. My CD player is just going on the fritz. It didn't like anything tonight. It was so, but that's okay. We're still here broadcasting, so Ralph, I'll turn it over to you, and I'm sure Pastor Cox will be coming on early. How are things going with you?
Fantastic. Beautiful weather. Busy. Business is good. I had about 30 minutes to spare to get my food down my stomach and get prepared for the show.
Amen.
But I'll take it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think Pastor Cox came on. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Greetings again and blessings from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I'll turn the show over to you, and I'll let you know when your callers call in. And looking forward to some great fellowship.
All right, thank you, sir. And again, we do welcome you to Hope is Alive. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening. We appreciate that you take the time out to share these testimonies with us, and this is what this show is about, testimony. And what is that testimony? Those that were held captive or set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Born by Christians, we are walking in that authority, operating in that authority, exercising the gifts that were given to them, and it's all to the glory of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is a fantastic website. It has tons and tons and tons of prayers, testimonies, training, everything you need right there at the click of a mouse. Or if you prefer the old-fashioned way with a book, you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. Let him know you need that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. Pastor, another Wednesday. Didn't quite sneak up on me, but I was so busy today, I was starting to worry I wasn't going to be able to get on the radio. But the Lord worked it out. I am here, thankful for it. Great weather, great business, and now I'm here for great fellowship and great testimony.
Amen. It's always exciting to be together again and talk about our Jesus and what he did for us at the cross and this area of the gospel that isn't focused on very much, that's commonly called deliverance. That is a setting the captives free from demonic activity, even Christians, in fact, especially Christians. And we finally realized, as we got into this, Christians are the targets. We're not immune at all. We are the targets. Why? Well, because when you become a Christian, you may share Jesus. and you may use your God-given gifts. So the enemy puts out assignments right out of the war room. Demons on assignment to block a Christian's life, and that's going on everywhere around us. And most of Christians we see seem to be very vulnerable because they have no idea about the war and not even, of course, who they are in Jesus to fight it.
That's right. And well, they don't call us Christian soldiers because we don't have a battle to do. Now, there was the last caller on the prayer line. I didn't quite get his name, but I think that was Bill. Calls in often. I think that's his name. But, you know, I caught the last few minutes of what he said, and he said, well, it isn't done right at baptism. Doesn't mean he still won't have spiritual problems. You won't have temptations. You won't have, you won't be sin in your life. It basically was saying you got to work at it and keep at it. And that's one of the things we talk about here is how to do that. How to use those gifts. How to use the power and authority that Jesus Christ has given you. And he didn't leave us unarmed. He didn't leave us without a helper. He didn't just say, okay, well, I finished my stuff at the cross. I'm gone. No, he said, lo, I am with you always. And gave us the tools. Gave us the Holy Spirit. Gave us the authority. And we as Christians, it is our duty to be using those things. A pastor this weekend, I had felt the call with the Holy Spirit, pack up everything, and went with a couple other brothers and went all the way to Michigan to support a church that is Spirit-filled. They know their identity as far as who Israel is, and they have it shut down day one at Michigan. And I'll tell you, it was a powerful moving to the Holy Spirit. There was people that were delivered, a lot of hands laid on, a lot of singing, a lot of praise, some words given to us. It was just a fantastic time, and I just wanted to give that testimony out because I praise Jesus that we were able to witness that.
Hey, man, that's awesome. Yes, and among the tools that he gave us, as we often speak about on this show, is that wonderful scripture, Luke 10:19,
yes.
That he gave us all power. Not 50% or 75, all power over the enemy, over the demonic, and then a promise that nothing will harm us. So we are so blessed to have this to deal with in the war zone that we're in until we go to heaven, and with the demonic activity going on all around us, and we can counter it. I ministered to a young lady, say Friday, 18 years old. Her family came over. Her mother got to ministry in another room there at the ministry office. But she was being tormented by the enemy. The family is an evangelistic family. They travel all over the world in evangelism. Been to Israel numerous times and so on. But she was hearing voices that were not of God, but the enemy, and tormenting her and physically, and then even things going on in her room. So, praise God, we were able to get to the root of it. And I got a text from her dad yesterday that she was having no more voices, praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that would just write her off as crazy.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. they probably wouldn't believe the ward.
I know, and they probably wouldn't believe half the things they told you.
Well, that's right. But yes, yep. If someone hearing voices, they put them in the mental section of the hospital and give them drugs to counter, you know,
yes.
Going all the time is demonic.
No, I just think when you say seeing things in the room and stuff like that, I mean, for the longest time, it was just hard to explain to people. I said, I'm telling you, lights were turning on and off. Doors would shut. I would see things. I would hear things. And I knew I wasn't crazy. So, you know, it's when you witness things with deliverance, you often hear this from people. They'll start off with this. Well, this might sound crazy, but And it's just nothing surprises me anymore, especially what the enemy tries to do on us, pull on us.
Yes. Yes, so true. Well, praise God. Here we go forward.
Yep.
June 1,
yes.
We're opening up at Deliverance Ministries and go at it. And it's going to be interesting trying to go along with the rules of the church that we rent. We're under their authority. But we're believing it'll work out. And praise God, it's worth it for just one. And hopefully we do a good dozen or more.
It'll be interesting to find out, especially if there's any head demon cases, that how many people are dealing with all the fear that's been going on right now.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yes. Anxiety and fear.
I would not be surprised at all. Yes.
Yeah, has to be a big one with all this going on. The enemy's, of course, fanning the fire.
And you know, speaking of fear, I had highlighted some stuff that I had, I was following along, and another part of Isaiah from the sermon I heard, and I was reading down a little further than what they did, and Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." So I can read that, Pastor, and I can use my I am. It says, I am.
Yes.
I am helped by God. And it's just a fantastic promise. And we are told over and over and over in Scripture not to fear. And that fear is a spirit. It's contagious. It can be passed on. It can be done certainly through what I would say spell casting, because there's definitely a lot of spell casting everywhere you go. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, there's a sign that reminds you of what's going on. And we should just be taking our thoughts captive, the obedience of Jesus, remembering what Pastor Cox has taught this ministry for many, many years, taught his ministry, Luke 10:19, all power of the enemy. And that includes the flu virus. That includes anything of the enemy.
That's right. And it's, you have to say it over and over for it to sink into your spirit person right off. And then try to memorize it so you don't have to look at the written Luke 10:19, but you can say it out loud. And as we've learned, when we speak a scripture, especially one that Jesus spoke, it will, as you speak it out, it performs itself. How awesome is that?
That is awesome. And you know, if it's in the red letter words, well, we can definitely bank on that. I mean, we can bank on everything's in our scripture, but when Jesus spoke it, maybe we ought to start thinking, maybe I ought to start paying attention. Maybe I do have all power and authority. Maybe I am to cast out demons. Maybe I am to lay hands on the sick. Maybe I will speak in new tongues. Maybe all these things will happen. So, praise the Lord.
Well, you know, Jesus said them.
Yep, he did.
Are you going to call Jesus a liar? Certainly not.
I know.
But that's what some people would act like they want to do. They don't want to accept what Jesus said himself.
No. I was talking with my son and another family member. I won't say his name just in case he's listening in. And he's dealing with a little anger issues, and he was talking some stuff to my son about this and that. And I said, or you can be long suffering and just forgive. And
yes,
and it's just funny as my family member said something, and I said, well, who are you going to listen to? You can listen to him, or you can listen to Jesus. Now, he did get a kick out of that. He did get a kick out of that, you know. And it was, he understood what I was saying. And, of course, it was offered a little bit of the flesh at that point. And they made discussions with him about it. But, you know, that's just, you can bank on it. And and that do not fear, it's all over Scripture. It's witnessed several times. We know that 2 Timothy 1:7. God is not a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, power, and love. And anything that's opposite of what God is has got to be from the enemy. It certainly isn't from him if it's opposite of what he says.
You got it. And that's why those I ams are so important, because you're speaking the truth of the word. I've actually had demons in manifestations tell me how they're having a hard time with their live program on this person because this person is standing on the word too much. So the I ams are a great thing to be saying out loud, which are available through Scriptures for America. And yes. And as you say those out loud again, they perform themselves. That is so awesome.
It is, and it's like working out your muscles, your spiritual muscles, when you do it. And it is declarations, personal declarations. And Jesus did it himself. He did it when he was in the desert battling Satan, and in a different way. He understood where he was. Understood it is written. Which is a type of I am. He was standing upon the word. And it's just, now, you know, I had such a great weekend. Now I'm just all fired up here. it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing sometimes. As you always say, we got to pinch ourselves that little old me is doing this. And oh, praise the Lord. Pastor, we have our first caller. Caller, thank you for joining us this evening.
Levita?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Levita. It's Ralph. Ralph is on here with me, and thank you so much for calling in. I'm excited. You have a neat testimony to share. So why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Levita, and when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen in your life, and so on.
Okay. Well, it's my pleasure. I was born in McAlester, Oklahoma, so I'm an Okie from McAlester. I was raised as Church of Christ. My mom and dad did not go to church, but they talked about it, and I know as a young girl, probably 8, maybe younger, I remember not crying out, just telling the Lord one day as I was walking an old dusty street from my house to my girlfriend that I knew there was a God. But I didn't know him. I looked up and I said, God, I know there's a God, but I don't know you, but I would like to know you. And that was my first hungering for the Lord. I did start finding a church that I had to walk to go. And I was baptized at 12. In the Church of Christ. Actually, I was thinking today, I've been baptized 4 times. I was baptized then, and then in my lifetime, I joined 2 different churches. They both required baptism. So I was baptized then, and then the last time was in Israel in the River Jordan. So I've had that as my background. What else was it you wanted? I attended. My husband passed away in 1985. After he passed away, I went to work for Rhema Bible. It was called Rhema Bible Training Center, which is now called Rhema Bible College. And I worked there for a couple of years, and I was so hungry to get under the word. So I quit my job and enrolled, and God provided. This was after my husband had passed, and he provided my tuition just supernaturally. And I attended Rhema for 2 years. So I had a good background. I have a good background in the Word and in teaching and understanding the authority of the Word. I guess I can jump forward. I guess when in June of 2019, I went on a trip with, I'm a Chickasaw, and we do 2 yearly trips. This was to Mount Rushmore. This was in the month of, it was the last day of May. My friend, my dear friend, and she and I roomed together, and that first night that we stayed in the hotel, I didn't sleep. And I thought, well, maybe it's just a new place. I have had issues with sleep when I went on trips. And then we were gone 7 days, and of those 7 days, 4 nights, I didn't sleep. That was the beginning of insomnia, and anxiety. And I think I told Mr. Cox today, I think they feed off of each other, anxiety, insomnia.
Yes, yes.
And
very common too.
Somebody told me you should always pray over a room when you go to a hotel, because there are some spirits that could have been left by people who've been in there before. And I suppose from now on, I haven't been on a trip since then, but from now on, I will cleanse the room with the blood of Jesus before I stay in it. I don't know what it
was. Amen.
If that was it, probably. I know that the devil knows or knew my weakness, and it was like I had a spirit of fear had come on me regarding my children going overseas, and just God has sort of revealed a lot of things to me, and I know that He is perfecting His body to do work. But at the time, I could not even fathom what was happening to me, because it was so devastating.
Yes. Well, Lavita, how did you learn about deliverance? You learn about deliverance, Lavita?
Okay. My dear friend Jody Marsh was very concerned about me and had really prayed with me and kept telling me she thought I was in spiritual warfare. And so she told me about Everett Cox's deliverance ministry. And we decided, she said she would go with me that first night. So that was February the 23rd. I went, and I cannot explain to you what a release that was when Everett Cox started talking about the forgiveness. This was the opening session about forgiving and kind of walking back through your past. And I cried and I cried, and I know there were some things I had never dealt with. And I think there was a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, was coming out when he was talking about it, but it hurt, but it felt good because I, at a point, was recognizing this that was turmoil within me. And then when I went to my one-on-one, the young lady was just so precious. And she gave me this little yellow thing about I am, where you say those I am five times a day. And my favorite, the one I quoted so much, was that I am delivered from the power of darkness. Because that's what I felt like I was in, was a power of darkness. And it was dark. And the thing of it is, I know God sustained me. I still marvel at the fact that a person can, that I could go without sleep.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Continually with no sleep.
I don't see how you did it.
It was amazing.
Levita, when you got into ministry, could you feel those spirits coming out? How do you know they were there?
Well, that night we didn't really deal with that with that area. I received a lot of confirmation of who I am and the power of love and forgiveness. The second time I went was March 2nd, was the next week. And this lady really got into that area. And I realized as she was calling forth these spirits, the fragmentation of my my being, my thinking, my personhood was being brought forth, that I really didn't know who I was in Christ. And then just having never dealt with the spirit of rejection, my husband had passed away, and then I remarried, and it was a divorce, which to me was like an unpardonable sin, but it was really, it was a two-part deal. I mean, it wasn't, but anyway, those were issues that I had, I guess, suppressed. And just not let the Lord heal me of these things. And this lady pulled those out of me, which I was just totally amazed. But let me tell you, that first night, February the 24th, I came home and I went to sleep the first time without using Ambien. Ambien is a very sedative sleeping pill that I had lived on from June. And it had even gotten to a point where it wasn't working, where unless I used a higher dose, and that was causing anxiety even more because I did not want to be addicted, which I was. But I came home from that session, and I laid down and went to sleep, and I praised the Lord. I only slept a couple hours, but it was like 8 hours for just to get that, you know. So that was wonderful, and I didn't know if I needed to go back, but the next Monday, something just pulled me. I was doing my mentorship with the lady in the church, and I told her, I said, you know, I think I'm supposed to go to this meeting. And so we hurried up and finished our session, and I got out there in time. And that, I'm so thankful, because if I hadn't have, I think I would have probably still, she called for several things that, about me as a little girl, as a young girl, and just issues that had overwhelmed me. Those are things I don't think Christians really understand, that you know, there is an enemy. It's not like I knew I wasn't possessed, but I knew that there was something controlling me that was, even though my love for the Lord, it was superseding that. I felt distant from the Lord. I felt like I couldn't pray substantially because I felt guilty. I felt shame. I felt shame because I had gone to Bible college, and I should know better not to let myself get in this situation. I realized I was judgmental. I had a legalistic attitude. I had worked as a chaplain in a marketplace, and it's not like I haven't dealt with people and their problems, but for some reason it was like I can't handle my own problem. What is wrong with me? Why? And it was through the power of this recognizing that I had tried to do things myself and not allowed God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to heal me of some things. And I thank the Lord for your ministry, Everett, Mr. Cox, because it
Thank you, LaVita. And LaVita, now that you've gotten your Jesus overhaul, you're even thinking about helping others, aren't you?
Oh, I've always had that in my heart, to help others. I mean, yes, I would. And what's so miraculous about all of this is that I never knew that this could be used to glorify God, other than just, you know, to tell how God had gotten me through this. But now, if this is something that he can use, yes, I am willing to do that.
And you're talking about going through our training. Well, the fact remains there are millions and millions and millions of Christians out there that are tormented with things just like you were talking about, and unless somebody ministers to them, it's not likely they will
ever live life abundant that Jesus said that we're supposed to have. The enemy is winning and blocking their lives. Well, in the minute remaining, what else would you say to the listeners before we wind up here, Levita?
Well, this scripture that there were several scriptures, and I memorized several during all this time when you you know, when you're awake, I was trying to. But this one in 1 Peter 5:8, it says the devil is like a roaring lion, roaming about seeking whom he may devour. That had been one of my first scriptures when I had been born again, to recognize the Lord telling me that I had an enemy and he was roaming about. But I remember God telling me, remember, Jesus is praying for you. He's interceding for you. And there would be comforting to me to realize we do have an intercessor. Jesus said he's always interceding for us. So that pulls me
through
many, many nights. And I would like for the people to know it's not, because I was so full of shame and guilt, I just want a Christian to know, don't be full, because that's another tactic of the enemy. Just hold on and seek help and never give up. Never give up, because God is with you, and He will. He knows how to get you through, and that's what I'm thanking Him.
Thank you, Levita.
He gave me a friend to show me where to go, and that was to your ministry. And there's been other things, but your ministry was what got me off of that addiction of Ambien, and I thank you for it. And then on Easter
thank
Sunday,
you for sharing. Look forward to seeing you Monday. We're out of time, Levita. Thank you so much for that wonderful testimony. That'll sure encourage others. God bless you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think she was having trouble holding back the tears that she's so happy.
Amen. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Just that testimony of not being able to sleep and being addicted to Ambien and to come home and just all night long. praise the Lord. And that is such a typical testimony of people that will say, you know, I haven't slept like that in years. I haven't slept that well in years. And it just goes to show that oppression affects us in so many. The oppression of the enemy affects us in more than just the spiritual. It flows over to the physical.
Yes, they're trying to block us.
Because
if
you don't, that's right, you overcome. And, you know, I didn't quite catch it. Did she say she just went through deliverance about a year ago? Was that correct?
Well, it was in February when she first went, and then she went again in March. It's just recently.
Okay, so less than that. Okay, here's a woman, advanced in age. I don't know if she gave it. I don't know if she wants me to give it, but I remember you telling me how old she is. Grew up in the church, worked in the church for so many years. And after all this time, she finally came to this. So it's never too late. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Pastor, we have Amanda. Amanda, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, hi, Amanda. Ralph's on here with me. He's up in the Branson area. Thank you so much for calling in. Why don't you go ahead, Amanda, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen in your life and experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my name is Amanda, and I grew up in a really good, loving family, and we went to church. We always went to church. I was saved whenever I was 8 years old, and I remember always feeling really close to God. Like, I remember that was kind of just a natural relationship for me when I was younger. And as I got older, I really struggled with shame and depression and different things that were just really, I guess, oppressing me throughout my childhood and as a teenager. And I just never felt good about who I was. I was never happy with myself. I always shied away from people. People scared me to death. And I started using drugs and alcohol when I was 15. And then whenever I turned about 17, my dad, his health got really bad, and he was forced out of his practice. He was a dentist. And so, like, I grew up having this awesome life. We had horses. It was wonderful. And my way of life, like, changed in an instant, or that's what it felt like. And so my family moved off, and I started using drugs and alcohol every day at that point, when I was about 18. And I was really, really angry at God because I blamed him for everything that happened. And I just didn't really know how to cope with anything either, because the horses were kind of my coping mechanism for things. And I wasn't grounded in my church or anything like that either. I didn't like the church that we were attending. And at that point, like, being a Christian, I mean, like, I knew who God was, and I felt like he was real, but being a Christian didn't really mean a lot to me. And so I was using drugs and drinking every day, and I had a girlfriend that was into kind of like new age type stuff, occult stuff. And I was really missing that relationship and that connection with God. And I still felt that really heavily in my life, but I didn't want to be associated with Christians. And I just wanted to kind of figure things out for my own way. And, I just started to dabble in that. And I met people that were practicing that and doing those things. And eventually, you know, I was just doing things on my own. I got really addicted to tarot cards, Ouija board, and, you know, like, during all this time, so I was on drugs for 18 years, and bad, and, you know, a lot of that time was spent with me reaching out for some type of God or, you know, spirituality. And I can remember times whenever that, like, I was just wanting to kill myself and just so unhappy. And when times were really, really bad, like, I would go to the Bible and I would cry out to Jesus. But other than that, you know, like, it didn't fit what I wanted. And so I was doing other things. And there came a point in my life where that I knew that I was inviting demons into my home. I knew that, and I didn't care. I just got to the point where it didn't scare me anymore. There would be, you know, physical manifestations that would happen inside my home. Stuff like my furniture moving, or, you know, and I've always heard things and seen things too. And I just got to a point where it didn't frighten me anymore, and I was just comfortable with it. And that just kind of became my life, and I was just, you know, really accepting of that at one point. And, you know, that came to a head when I was about 30 years old. And I, you know, prayed to God, and I told him that I didn't want to live my life anymore that way. And I was really afraid. And he started to expose me to people that were a part of a sober living ministry that's actually called Hope is Alive. So it's interesting because that's the name of the radio station. And I ended up going there for 3 years and staying there and learned a lot about God. I fell in love with God, and it was just amazing the way that God came out and just loved me and was so kind to me because I was so broken and I was so hurt. And I just was so afraid of people, and I was just really damaged from that, you know. And, you know, I worked through a couple of 12-step programs while I was there, and I built a really good, solid foundation. But I was still really struggling with spiritual warfare, and I was convinced that I was just crazy, you know, and that these things weren't really happening. But especially when I got sober, you know, it got bad because they didn't want me sober. And so I was having horrible, horrible, horrible nightmares where I was being attacked. I was being raped, where that things were actually coming to me, like in my room. And the voices that
Hello?
I was hearing in my mind, it was nonsense.
We lost her.
And I had been taught
well,
stuff from time to time about it, and but nothing that I ever did ever worked. And so I kind of just had lost
it,
you know, and it really made me question my beliefs and
you
know, things like
Richard,
that. And I didn't understand why that, you know, things like that continued to happen to me. But it just made it really hard for me to move on and, like, be a happy person and really let things go. And so I graduated from that program after about 3 years, and I started going into God started placing different people in my life. And one Bible study that I was a part of, there were some women there that were talking about this deliverance. And these were groups that I felt like I could be open with them about, like the experiences that I was having and telling them about. And so they shared with me, you know, who you guys were and that maybe I should go check it out. And I got really excited. And so I did. And it was right before you guys shut down from the COVID thing. And so I was able to go two times before that. The first time that I went, I had a lot of physical manifestations happen, like whenever that she was doing it, you know, I felt a lot of pain in my body. There was a lot of heat in my body. I was hearing a lot of things, you know, like throughout all this time, you know, nothing like that they were speaking to her, but like I could hear them in my mind, and they were just saying things like, you know, this isn't going to work. This is awesome that you're trying, but good luck. And, you know, some of them would be worse than others. But that first night that I went, everything felt really dark, and I was really scared when I left the building that night because I could just feel the presence of darkness, like, everywhere. And so I was a little scared about that, but I went home, and I decided to come back. And the second time that I came, I met Linda and a lady named Nancy, and we went into it a lot deeper. And, you know, I have to be honest, like, I really didn't understand how that, like, generational curses and things like that, I don't know, it just kind of seemed, like, far out to me, I guess. And whenever that she started to go through that stuff, and especially that second time with, like, the Native American type thing, I could just feel stuff just leaving, and, you know, each time I just felt better and different, and, you know, like, things were said about how that they had been over me my entire life, and that they were, you know, derailing my destiny and, like, sabotaging my gifts. And it's neat because, you know, these are things that, like, down, you know, like, down deep I've always felt, like I feel like the enemy has been over me my entire life. I feel like that he's always tried to steal you know, my relationships with other people. Like, I think naturally I'm really good at loving other people. So, of course, you know, it was his way of ruining that by making me feel like I'm worthless and I can't connect, and I felt that way my whole life. But so those things started to change for me, and I feel like it's just kind of an ongoing process too. And Linda and Nancy have been so great because, you know, we weren't able to meet there at the church, and so we have been in contact with each other and through email and phone calls, and I've also, you know, Linda has met with me and we've done another deliverance, and that was really powerful. And it's just amazing to me, because, you know, the enemy will lie to you, and I was having second thoughts even still, you know, like, I don't need this, like, this isn't going to help me. But it's just incredible how that the Holy Spirit just, like, comes through and, like, speaks through people that are there helping you. And, you know, one of the experiences that I had during this time, so I was having horrible nightmares. I was not sleeping at night. I was more afraid than I've ever been in my life, because I was so afraid of the things that I was hearing and seeing at night. And I had a breakthrough, and God kept putting this word in my mind. Like, I think you say it Yeshua, but it, I guess that's another name for Jesus. And I didn't know that. And he gave me this worship song, like, in the middle of the night when I was struggling with this stuff. And I just began to praise and worship him. And everything it left. And that was a really powerful experience. And I also journal a lot, and so I've recorded a lot of this stuff, and it's really amazing how things that I would write about, that he's come through and answered those prayers, and it's like something tangible that I have that I can go and I can look at. You know, because my human mind tends to doubt things sometimes, you know. But it's just been a really, really amazing experience. And something else too is that different groups of people that God has led me to have spoken things over me, like that I have prophetic gifts, that I'm able to, you know, like, see things, and I didn't really and I still don't understand those things. But people continue to tell me that, and it's not like I'm telling them these things, and it's, I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, like, how my life continues to progress as I continue to receive those blessings, you know. I can already feel just, like, such a tremendous difference. I feel like a huge weight has just been lifted off my shoulders since the last deliverance. I'm not hearing the voices all the time, and I'm not hearing them outside either. Because I was hearing stuff, like, audibly everywhere that I went, and I have for years. And it's not completely gone, but it's, like, 95% gone. And that's huge to me. It's amazing. So
it sounds like you got a Jesus overhaul pretty much, Amanda. Bless
yeah.
your heart. You come from a tough. You've had a number of tough years there, so your life has certainly changed, hasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I feel confident now. I feel like I can love other people. You know, like I feel like that I can listen to God in a way that I was not able to listen to Him before, and I have such a heart for Him, and I want to serve Him, and I want to do things that He wants me to do, because those are the moments that I'm the happiest. And, you know, I found something too after we did a deliverance. I went to my parents' house, and I found in an old box, like, one of my very first Bibles, and my dad had written in the front of it, and I think I was 11 years old, that we had gone and met with the pastor this morning, and that I had I guess dedicated my life to the Lord, and I was going to serve Him. And I just thought that was really, really cool too. That, you know, maybe this is something that's always been meant to be.
Yes. Yes. Your destiny. Wow.
Yes.
That's so cool. Well, in the remaining time we've got here, Amanda, what would you, in winding up, say to the listeners about deliverance?
I would say that I think that everybody can benefit from it. You know, I think that there is a lot of speculation from people that wonder, like, is this real? Is it true? You know, but it is. Like, God is so powerful, and it's just incredible the things that he can take from you if that you're willing to give it to him. And there's just something about, you know, being in prayer and in the way that you all do things there that just really just sets everything into motion. I don't think that I ever would have experienced the freedom that I feel today if I had not gone through it, you know? Like, I just feel really blessed to have received that.
Yes, praise God. Well, Amanda, that was a wonderful testimony. That has to encourage others. You went through many years of torment, and praise God, here you are now with a Jesus overhaul. I love it. Well, thank you for calling in and that great testimony, Amanda. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Amanda. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, I can only imagine if how her life would have been during the shutdown if she was able to get in before with all the issues and problems that she had been battling. And just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, what a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful testimony of deliverance power of Jesus Christ. And,
yes, her life, the only way to come out of where she was obviously dealing with the demonic and getting rid of those attacks and torment that was going on through the demons. That was awesome.
Yes. And that's something
Hallelujah.
I was talking with some brothers in Christ about, the 12-step programs, that I think they're wonderful. I know a lot of people that have overcome addiction with it. But I think that if they understood the spiritual aspect of what they were doing, what they were dealing with, it's more than just being a disease or more just than that. If they understood that spiritual aspect and realized that when they get up in front of each other, and this happens in the anonymous things, hello, my name is so-and-so, I am, you know, an addict, or I am an alcoholic, or I am these things, they just don't realize that they're still claiming that, and they could have been so for years. And when there's victory in Jesus, we can say, hi, my name is Ralph, and I am free.
Yes, hallelujah.
Again, we do thank everybody. Hey, praise God. And I know you are too, Pastor. We do thank you for joining us this evening. Again, that's deliveranceusa.com. If you have any questions about deliverance, go there. Send us an email. If you need deliverance, send us an email. And or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, excuse me, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307-742-7582. Another Wednesday out of the way. Another two great testimonies. Fantastic. I mean, just, wow, both of them. And we thank everybody for joining us this evening. Pastor, stay blessed. God bless everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, God bless everyone.